The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, correction of mistakes on nomination forms of disqualified presidential aspirants ends at 5 p.m. today. Independent presidential candidate Jacob Osayeboa promises to establish industries for the country's natural resources. CPP to give special tax exemption to businesses if it wins the December polls. President Mahama to be interviewed on GBC's Garden City Radio in Ashanti region this morning, and the U.S. to elect a president today. All the 12 disqualified presidential aspirants were yesterday given a lifeline by the Supreme Court to correct anomalies on their nomination forms. In a unanimous decision, the apex court of the land directed the Electoral Commission to give all of them a fair hearing. The court, in its judgment, also extended the nomination period to the close of work today, November 8. Independent presidential candidate Jacob Osayeboa has promised to establish an industry each for all the natural resources that Ghana is endowed with. The resources will serve directly as raw materials, while a merged industry academy under his government will supply the appropriate human resource to provide the right mix for wealth creation. Mr. Osayeboa said this when he took his turn at the GBC Star Ghana presidential encounters for this year's election. Georgia Secretary reports that the independent presidential hopeful touched on virtually all sectors of the economy, with wealth creation as the central theme.
Mr. Jacob Osayeboa began his encounter with what he describes as his understanding of democracy. According to him, making available one's ideas to those who rule is more important than necessarily trying to win elections at all costs. He said he shared his knowledge on the energy sector, for instance, some of which were imbibed by the government during the power crisis, and this, for him, is a mark of leadership by example.
The most important thing that all of us need to understand is how I have defined democracy as a war of 5 years fought with the weapons of rule of law. And so in elections, the most important thing is for you to put up your idea together. And if even you lost, what is important is that the one who won will pick up those ideas for the good benefits of the people of Ghana. Because the moment you become the president, you're not a president for a particular kind of people. You become a president for all Ghanaians, and you're expected to govern in the overall interest of Ghanaians. I mean, when I realized that the nation was suffering, I just went to the Energy Commission and said that this is what I did in 1994. It was part of my project. And so if we really want to go ahead as a nation, we need to go there. Energy preservation way. And not only that, I also wrote an article, I wrote a letter to His Excellency President Mahama, detailing especially when they decided to bring in car power in America. I mean, I explained everything and cited an example.
Mr. Osayeboa said his government will be inclusive. He said he will introduce a second upper chamber in parliament to solve the problem of what he calls the rule ambiguity, especially on the part of the majority side. Mr. Osayeboa also indicated his readiness to implement the report of the Constitution Review Committee on amending the Constitution.
When you look at that, the Council of State now, you have a lot of, again, the president appointing a lot of people over there. But I suggested that with the second upper parliament, what we need is that, like the religious leaders, like the traditional leaders, they will use their own internal mechanism to elect people that will represent them over there. We're talking about students, people with disability. Over there at the second upper parliament, we want to see Ghana at work. We want to see decisions that will come, that will be from the heartbeat of Ghana and not on partisan politics as in the first.
Mr. Osayeboa said Ghanaians have changed political parties that form government over the years, yet the problems facing the country continue to rise. He called on the masses to vote for an independent candidate like the people of Benin did when they elected Thomas Yayibone, arguing that he, when elected, will create wealth and transform the economy.
Then the religious leaders, they insult them. Even among their own families, they can hack people. They can pour acid and kill people. They can set offices ablaze. you go and vote for them. It means that you want them to continue. If you say, I won't vote for you, overnight they can lay your vote for you. But if you vote for Joy, you are what for about burning. That is not a fact, it's actually a lie.
Dr. Abdullahi Kuini, a senior lecturer at the Department of Political Science, University of Ghana, and a senior research fellow at IDEC, Kwesi Jonah, later analyzed the submissions of Mr. Jacob Oseyeboa.
Georgia Secret Reporting. Meanwhile, a political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Abdullahi Kuini Mohammed, says the manifesto presentation of Mr. Oseyeboa lacked concrete programs and policy guidelines to achieve them. He said Mr. Oseyeboa also failed to give a comprehensive outline of the expertise and specialized political and economic brains he will be needing to work with in achieving his agenda.
Policy problems are interrelated problems.
Yes.
And if they are interrelated problems, we can't discuss them in isolation. So he tended to isolate these issues and discuss them as if these problems existed in a vacuum and they were not related to other problems. But policy problems are interdependent, and therefore we must examine their interdependent nature.
Mm.
That was not forthcoming.
Mm.
And he also didn't really put out a call, because if you had a political agenda, a manifesto, then the manifesto would tell us indeed the package of programs you have for Ghana. But without a package of programs, it will be difficult for you to not only be comprehensive, it will be difficult for you to touch on all the sectors of the economy, as my senior colleague has already said. And therefore, certainly you are going to be shallow in some aspects and then try to maybe in-depth in some other areas. And that was what I saw about his presentation.
Okay.
And then we thought also, there was also a problem with the processes that would lead to the objectives that he wants to set for the country. Because policy and policy programs are made up of three important areas. The first area is the program aspect of any policy that you are going to put across. The second area is the process area in terms of how you're going to prosecute the project and programs. And the last area is the political area.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he tended to focus so much on the program aspect of policy and then forgot about the process aspect of policy. Because some of these areas, particularly in relation to many of the questions that they put across, would be very, very difficult to implement, because you need to tell us how the time frame, the gestation period of some of the projects that you want to put across. Look at the cycle that you have about 4 years tenure.
Mm.
How are you going to be able to turn around these programs
mm.
in detail for us to have it? Do you have the resources? What is the estimate or even a parallel of whatever you want to do to us as a system? We don't have that. We don't have it by it, at least a sample by it. In terms of the political aspect, that was even the place that was really very serious, because if you're an independent candidate, you need to work with others to be able to build a program, a comprehensive program to offer Ghanaians.
Mm-hmm.
You're an independent candidate, you don't tell us how you're going to harness the skills, the manpower that you need to be able to prosecute your program.
Yep.
Are you going to just go around fishing for Ghanaians who you think, well, you like to come and run the program? You need to have at the back of your mind who might be the technocrat, who might be the potential politician who will hold the bureau's portfolio that you will need. Not only that, how do you get your policies passed through as an independent candidate where you have major political parties winning seats in parliament? So what type of parliament that you're going to have, it's going to be very, very difficult to pass your policies, because unless you are able to buy in quotes, at least try to win these legislators to your side so that you'll be able to implement the policies that you want.
Absolutely.
Dr. Kwesi Jonah of the Institute of Democratic Governance stated that Mr. Oseyeboa will face difficulties ruling as president since he is an independent candidate. He said Ghana's parliament is so polarized because it is filled with MPs who all have political affiliations. It will therefore be difficult for Jacob Oseyeboa to work in a parliament that its members are aligned to political philosophies.
If you look at politics under the Fourth Republic, you see that parliament is so polarized, everybody is very strongly attached to the clear party. NDC will vote with the NDC government all the time. Yes. The NPP will vote one way all the time. In an atmosphere like this, it is going to be extremely difficult for any independent candidate who, God willing, wins the election to form this government of national unity. Because voting in parliament always follows party lines. Ghana parliament has been so very poor line. The only time they work together is when they are voting on their salaries. So my point is, to begin with, as an independent candidate, you don't have any parliamentarians to count on, loyal parliamentarians to count on.
Yes.
And the constitution says the majority of your ministers
must come from parliament.
Must come from parliament. That's the first problem. The second problem then is the power of the whip. Every party in parliament has a whip. And the whip is the chief disciplinarian. It is the whip that ensures that if my party is voting along this line, you must also vote along that line. I don't know what trick will be used to reduce the power of the NDC whip, the power of the NPP whip, to get them not to throw party lines. So, and then the third practical problem is the very poor performance of independent candidates in our elections.
Dr. Kwesi Jonah is a senior research fellow of the Institute of Democratic Governance. Ghanaian businesses will enjoy special tax exemption under a CPP government. This is to assist them to expand and employ more people to reduce the unemployment rate. Flag bearer of the party, Ivor Greenstreet, said this when he addressed market women, taxi and chocho drivers at Ilokrobo as part of his campaign tour of the Eastern Region. He said Ghanaian businesses must be supported, stressing that it's a priority on its agenda. Felix Kofi sent this report from Kofodia.
The campaign team's first stop was at the Kwiapim South constituency, where Mr. Greenstreet called on the chief of Brikusu, Nana Oteng Kranting, to ask for his blessings. He later addressed a mini-rally and promised to establish a special credit facility to support traders and small-scale businesses in the country if Ghanaians give him the nod. He added that petty traders will receive soft loans. From Kwiapim South, the campaign team went to Nsawamadwejiri, Ekropong, Okere and Ilokrobo constituencies. At Ilokrobo, Mr. Greenstreet interacted with the traders, drawing a huge crowd. He assured them that with the CPP being a grassroots party, his government will serve the interests of the people.
When the Convention People's Party comes, the Convention People's Party will make sure that if you are a market woman, if you are a taxi driver, if you are a tractor driver, you won't pay taxes like the way you are paying taxes. We will rather give the tax breaks to the ordinary citizens of this country. We will make sure that if you are a market, district assembly will not rush to make you pay taxes. We will make sure that rather we reduce the taxes that you pay if you are a market woman. We will reduce the taxes you pay if you are a taxi driver. All of the ordinary citizens of this country, we will rather come to serve you, serve the people of this country, rather than serving the people who come to take our oil, take our gold, take all of the resources of this nation. All of the farms and all the produce, we will come to your aid by providing you with subsidies, by providing you with mechanized centers, by providing you with more technical support, and by making sure all of the things that you need for the ordinary citizens of this nation, that will be the priority of the Convention People's Party. That is the meaning of Apamfufo. Apamfufo will change your life.
The first vice chairperson of the CPP, Haji Hamdatu Ibrahim, cautioned the electorate against selling their vote. She said to trade one's vote for a bag of rice and other gifts means selling the destiny of the country. She said Ghanaians have tried both the NDC and the NPP and nothing good has come out of them, and therefore it is time they hand over the country to the CPP to continue with the good works that Dr. Kwame Nkrumah started.
Felix Kofi filed that report. President John Mahama will this morning be interviewed on GBC's Garden City Radio in Kumasi in the Ashanti region. It forms part of his campaign tour of the region. He will tell Ghanaians his achievements in the areas of education, the economy, health, energy, infrastructural development, roads, among others. President Mahama will also outline his plans for the country if he is retained in power. The program will be carried live on all GBC's radio stations across the country. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Correction of mistakes on nomination forms of disqualified presidential aspirants ends at 5 p.m. today. Independent presidential candidate Jacob Osayeboa promises to establish industries for the country's natural resources. CPP to give special tax exemption to businesses if it is elected in December. President Mahama to be interviewed on GBC's Garden City Radio in Ashanti Region this morning. And the U.S. elects a president today. Welcome back. The Asante Hinotunfo said to his urge to President Mahama to continue to sell his achievements to the electorate. He said a good track record will speak for him on December 7. Hinotunfo said to listed projects such as the Kumasi Central Market, the more than 1,000 hospital beds added to the Ashanti region's hospital bed stock, roads, water projects, among others. The Asante Hine said this when President Mahama called on him at his palace on the third day of his Ashanti regional campaign tour.
Ezu, the year 2005, Samaruna Omanpinyu Kofone Oho, and over the year Kumasi Sey International Airport, the beginning to airport no so kete, Ozi Anyaki Oho, and yet Yemreso, and nearby, and there's the International Airport. And there was a number of people who has had in New York International Airport. And the lighter plane DC and Ajo, meaning the assistant of the FFL of Kumasi. And then, Obi to be sorry and crying. I can say, oh, we go Kumasi and Ajo. Now, and Ajo by 9 o'clock, no, I'm busy Kumasi. If it's a plane to me, see, and maybe an Opo, a Rio, and Ajo, plane to me, see, oh, Kumasi Airport. By now, long you have a expansion of Kumasi Airport account. I said, acquire a plane, if you also know, you have a certain thing, send a plane, a free to send Nigeria, and go see Accra and send one side of a plane about Kumasi. Go back to me in Lagos, about Kumasi straight. And you, go back to me in Kumasi, and you will call Abidjan. No, if you Kumasi, I go see Abidjan direct. Oh, go far. Accra and San Juan for Abidjan. Then the mayor, Yemi Anuma, Omudija, I says almost two fine, Ebano. Almost all met me to Kumasi Akko, Abra, Omukosi, Accra. And to wait now, yes, yeah. Now make us the airport, Sikano, Yaji, as well. And then say, yeah, I have purchased and the Canada home, I have a chance to say, hey, you, Nana. Now, as a part and what whole Emma you may hear for, and they say, then now you may say, the worker box site as them now we in a Hindi if you are, when your box site will be all gonna help you. Hey, look, and see, what's your manifesto? One, I trust that 4 years every year, the year integrated box site and aluminium industry. I said, you may hear box site, you know. The best I say, I'm mining star box site doing, you may hear. I don't see, you shall say, eh, yet take a final ever. Ya yet, second B, a contact idea back with your crew. I have been to ask for a drew a wasso. You drew a wasso, I bet pipe my phone, I could do from. Alpha Dunqua, Alpha Wasso.
President John Mahama. The NPP has accused the Electoral Commission of denying the party access to an even playing field ahead of the election. The party said the EC gave the NDC and other parties the full version of the voters register whilst denying the NPP same. According to the Director of Elections of the NPP, Martin J. Mensah-Khosa, the register given to the NPP did not include all proxy voters, while information on 31 constituencies on the register are corrupt, affecting 134 polling stations. This was at a news conference in Accra. Georgia Sikri reports.
According to the NPP's Director of Elections, Martin Ajay Mensah-Khorsa, the party got a soft copy of the 2016 voters' register 12 days after it submitted an external drive to the Electoral Commission as demanded. He said the party noticed that apart from the absence of the full list of proxy voters, the NPP's copy of the voters' register had 31 constituencies on a corrupted file. Mr. Ajay Mensah-Khorsa said the NPP will use all acceptable means to ensure that it gets the full version of the 2016 voters register before the elections.
The Electoral Commission wrote to political parties to bring their external drives to pick copies of the register. The NPP complied fully with it the very next day. Even though we did that, it was not until the 11 days after, and which was after the last IPAC meeting held on the 28th of October 2016, that the Electoral Commission gave us a soft copy of the register. The Commission refused to give us a hard copy version, as has always been the practice. So we ask, for which political parties was the Electoral Committee printing copies of the hard register for a couple of weeks ago? Of the constituency registers given us, 31 out of 275 files are corrupted. It cannot be opened. And this affects a total of 134 polling stations. We had been told before delivery to us that they had some technical challenges doing hours for us. And it so happens that even after the long delay, when we get it, 31 of 275 constituencies are corrupted, it cannot be opened. Other political parties whom we are engaged with in this contest, just some 29 days from now, have their copies, including our main opponents, and we don't have it. Whilst we commend the Electoral Commission on the effort to deliver the register in time, in keeping with the law, we notice that the copy given us is incomplete.
Mr. Ajay Mensah-Khorsa said the NPP will not sit down for the elections to be rigged again. He assured the public that an NPP victory is inevitable and urged them to stay peaceful whilst everything is being done to make the victory a reality.
Georgia Secretary reporting. The Electoral Commission says it is ready to accord persons with disabilities special privileges during the voting process on December 7. This was made known by the Deputy Voter Regional Director of the EC, Nuhu Mohammed, on GBC's Kachi FM. He was speaking on a program dubbed Abato Impotem, which is aimed at educating the public on election-related issues. Mike Katulevu was sent this report.
As December 7 is fast drawing closer, all stakeholders in the election are busily putting finishing touches to their programs. One of such stakeholders is Persons Living with Disabilities, PWD. During the radio discussion on GBC's Karachi FM based in Kete Karachi, some of the main concerns expressed by the PWD were how the location of the polling station could be disability friendly, how long the physically challenged person could wait in a queue before voting, as well as how a blind person could also vote independently. According to the Volta Regional President of the Ghana Blind Union, Vivian Nate, most members of the union are being trained to use a card called tactile balloting to vote independently at the December 7 polls. She said with the tactile balloting card, a blind person can know the position of a preferred candidate of either presidential or parliamentary on the ballot paper and so can vote for such a person without any other person's help. The Deputy Voter Regional Director of the EC, Mohammed Nuhu, said the EC is giving special attention to PWDs in the upcoming election such that the physically challenged will not need to queue at any polling station to vote. He also said positioning the ballot boxes and tables are being considered in such a way that its accessibility can be disability friendly.
Michael Tulevo sent that report. The executive director of the Mental Health Authority, Dr. Chris Yosei, says although nurses at the Accra Psychiatric Hospital are still on strike, contingency plans have been put in place to manage patients who require health care. Speaking to Radio Ghana on developments at the facility, even though government has released 30,000 CDs to clear part of the arrears owed them, Dr. Osei said he is embarrassed that all other nurses have served notices to go on strike for poor working condition, a situation he feels is ill-timed.
The check that was given by the ministry was to mature today. I'm hoping that by now it will mature. But the nurse's point was that, yes, it matures. They want to see the drugs that are supposed to be released, and they want to see a whole month's release of the drugs and then other logistics. I'm sure that by the middle of the week, let's say Wednesday, everything will be ripe enough for them to come back. But there's a complication, and that complication is that the general nurses, that's their mother association, Ghana Registered Nurse and Midwife Association, has issued a release that they are also embarking on a national strike of the nurses, totality of nurses, not just psychiatric nurses, from today. And that is what is complicating matters. With the psychiatric nurses, I'm sure within this week, we would have found an end to the problem.
Why are the general nurses coming on strike, sir?
They also have similar issues of long-standing problems, logistics not being there, clearing not being paid, some of them. And then finally, pay is in arrears. I mean, they are only giving 3 months arrears and promotion issues. But it's unfortunate that it's coinciding with the psychiatric nurses problem today.
And how is that affecting the management of the hospital at the moment?
Even with the psychiatric nurses, the point was that the manager was not, because the psychiatric nurses said they would not be coming until they saw everything. So the manager assumed that, yes, you are not there, and patients will need to be attended to somehow. So they have put in place contingency measures, and those measures are that they had to stop the outpatient department so that they can put the doctors to the wards for them to attend to those on the wards. Then on the wards, they are also discharging a number of the patients so they can have fewer numbers of patients on their hands. Normally, in strike action, very senior nurses would have a health assistant.
Let me try and find out. Do you think that the all nurses strike that is coming on coinciding with this one is politically motivated?
I don't know, and I don't think so.
Dr. Akwesi Osei is the executive director of the Mental Health Authority. The executive secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, Patricia Espinosa, has at the opening of the COP22 tasked all parties to the Paris Agreement to work together with speed and skill on all fronts to tackle climate issues. She said the urgency with which the agreement went into force is an indication of the importance the 100 countries that have ratified it attached to the issue. Joyce Jechia Sardos reports, courtesy of the Minerals Commission, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the Chamber of Mines.
The venue for COP22, Bab Idi, was filled to capacity at the official opening of the event, despite the risk, but that notwithstanding, registration for accreditation went on smoothly amidst tight security. The Executive Secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, Patricia Espinosa, that hosting the event in Africa is timely due to the effect the phenomenon has on the continent, though not a major contributor to the problem. She noted that there have been some financial influence from developed countries to Africa to help address the issue, but that is not enough, considering the magnitude the effect has on the continent. The president of COP22, the Moroccan Minister of Foreign Affairs, Salahedin Mezwa, said climate issues is about civilization and economic development in Africa, and as such, member countries should demonstrate commitment in order to take charge of its destiny. The president of COP21, French Minister of Environment, Energy and the Sea, Ségolène Royal, recounted her three main concerns of climate change, which are climate urgency, climate justice, and climate efficiency. She said 700 million Africans have no access to electricity, and investing in renewable energy is of great importance.
Joyce Jechi reporting. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have been crisscrossing America in a final push for votes before Election Day. Both of them have been holding rallies in the battleground states of North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. Mrs. Clinton was joined on stage by celebrities as well as her husband Bill, President Obama, and his wife Michelle. Mr. Obama urged voters to reject fear and choose hope. Mr. Trump told supporters in Florida that he was not a politician and that they were his only special interests. Federal police in Iraq have found a mass grave at the west of Haman al-Aliyu in the Agricultural College. The Joint Operations Command said Iraqi forces found 100 bodies of citizens with their heads cut off at the college, adding that specialized teams would investigate. Iraqi forces have previously provided estimates of the number of victims in mass graves before they are excavated and mounted. To end the news, the main points again. Correction of mistakes on nomination forms of disqualified presidential aspirants will end at 5 p.m. today. all the 12 disqualified presidential aspirants were given yesterday a lifeline by the Supreme Court to correct anomalies on their nomination forms. And the independent presidential candidate, Jacob Oseyebua, has promised to establish industries for the country's natural resources. Mr. Oseyebua took his turn on GBC Star Ghana presidential encounters for this year's election. And that was the news with Abraham Donko in a